Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in this country, but all those others who tune in to this program throughout the world. And it's also my pleasure to welcome four outstanding individual and talented players of the game. And we welcome, first of all, with great pleasure, that master of comic invention and witty rapport and response that is Paul Merton, and someone who's equally at home in improvised comedy, that's Julian Clary, and also somebody who's also clever at ad hoc spontaneous humour, Tony Hawkes, and also someone of a different generation, but equally at home in improvised humour, that is Clement Freud. And would you please welcome all four of them? As usual, I'm going to ask them to speak on the subject that I give them, and they will try and do that if they can without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from the subject on the card in front of me. Beside me sits Claire Bartlett, who's going to help me keep the score, and she'll blow a whistle when the 60 seconds are up. And this particular recording of Just a Minute is coming from Foy in that beautiful county of Cornwall. And we are part... And we are part of the Daphne du Maurier Festival here in this tented village in Foy, and we have in front of us a really hyped-up festival Cornish audience who are dying for us to start the show. So let us begin with Paul Merton. Paul, the subject is weather forecasts. Tell us something about weather forecasts in just a minute, starting now.
The weather forecasts in this country are always reliable. If they say it will rain, the sun will shine. And vice versa. Maybe that's being unfair to the Meteorological Office because it is a very difficult science. It's not an art. It isn't perhaps something that we could all do or would want to be able...
Tony Hawkes, your challenge.
I think there was a hesitation.
Yes,
there.
It was. He stumbled over his words. We call it hesitation. So, Tony, you have a correct challenge. You get a point for that, and you take over the subject, which is weather forecasts, and there are 39 seconds starting now.
I should have listened to the weather forecast last night because I decided to come down to Foy very early this morning to enjoy the sunshine. How wrong I was. I got here, the clouds opened, and I was wet through by mid-afternoon. The weather forecasts are...
Paul Merton challenge.
Well, I don't... DVA, do clouds open? They part, don't they? But the clouds don't...
I think, afternoon.
I think, Paul, colloquially speaking, people do talk about clouds opening and shedding their water, yes. I think it's a colloquial phrase people use, and I think it would be unfair to take it away from Tony on that challenge. So, Tony, an incorrect challenge. You get a point for that, of course. You keep the subject. 22 seconds available, starting now.
I like to think of myself as being something of an amateur weather forecaster. For instance, I predict tomorrow will be snowy in the morning, followed by a thunderstorm.
Clement Freud challenge.
Repetition of morning.
Yes.
Correct.
Excuse me, audience, it is part of the game. He's got a correct challenge, a point for that, Clement. 11 seconds, weather forecasts starting now.
It is becoming increasingly difficult now that you no longer have entrails inside chickens. But in olden days...
Do chickens no longer have entrails? It's some sort of... This is some genetic modification.
As far as I'm concerned, chickens do have entrails.
They do. It's deviation to say they haven't.
It is deviation, yeah, but you needn't look like that. I'm afraid that...
I think, in fairness, weather forecasters never looked at entrails inside chickens. And it is the shop-bought chickens which no longer have entrails in them.
I don't see there's any connection with weather forecasts, so on that score as well. No, you tried to justify it, and you nearly succeeded, but not quite. So
it's nice to have a little chat about entrails, though, isn't it?
Paul, correct challenge. You have 3 seconds left. Weather forecasts starting now.
The clouds opened up.
Clement challenge.
We've had clouds.
No, it was Tony who talked about clouds.
Yeah, I never clouds. Mentioned clouds.
You always mention
no, clouds. No, I never. Tonight's an exception. No.
Paul, an incorrect challenge. Another point to you in 2 seconds. Weather forecast starting now.
Fog, mist, these are the enemies of the fishermen.
Whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. Paul Merton on that occasion, he's taken the lead ahead of Tony Hawks and Clement Freud in that order. And Tony Hawks, will you take the next round? The subject is my favourite school teacher. Tell us something about him or her in this game, starting now.
The trouble with school is that they don't really teach you anything that's going to be useful to you later in life. For instance, when I was at school, I had to do pottery, and since leaving school, I haven't had one occasion when I've had to make a pot, even in an emergency. But fortunately, my favourite teacher at school did interest me greatly. His name was Mr. Akers, and he taught me at Brighton Hove and Sussex Grammar School for boys. He took history, and he used to turn up with a guitar and sing songs about that subject. At the Board of Trade, Mr. Huskisson made reductions in the rate of duty on many raw materials and certain goods ready for sale. And he relaxed the Navigation Act and made reciprocity treaties and retrieved, and it went on. And I was able to just sing these little ditties in my examinations, and everyone thought I was so intelligent. And I'm so grateful to him for that. The art teacher, on the other hand, wasn't really my favourite, although in a way he was for many of the other children in the school, thus making him still relevant to talk around.
Well done! This is such a difficult game, it is very rare that someone goes for the full 60 seconds, and you did it with style and panache, and you didn't hesitate, repeat yourself, or deviate. And when that happens, he gets a point for speaking when the whistle went, and also a bonus point for not being interrupted. But you're still in second place. Well, that was me making a joke. But you're only 1 point behind Paul Merton. And Clement, your turn to begin. The subject is petit pois. Tell us something about petit pois in this game, starting now.
Petit pois is a French word, so I presume...
Tony, challenge.
It's two French
words. Two words.
Right.
That is a correct challenge. So, yep. Tony, we're going to hear from you again very rapidly. And you have 56 seconds to tell us something about petit pois, starting now.
Pois is a French word. And if you tack the other one, petit, in front of it, you end up with petit pois. I once had a grand pois of my own, which I used to put on a plate, and people wouldn't eat it because they said, it's too large. Can't you go and get a petit one? And so I did. I scurried off to the back of the house where I kept all the petit pois in a large basin, marked.
Clement, challenge.
Repetition of large.
You had large once before.
I thought I had grand, didn't I?
No.
Did I?
Okay. And so, 32 seconds, Clement. You have petit pois back, and you start now.
Alors, il faut parler en français parce que le sujet était petit pois. Je vous dirais que un petit pois.
Julian, challenge.
Well, he did an air, which I know is very French, but it could be construed as hesitation.
Yes, it was a French air, though. It wasn't an in English, which we would interpret that. Let's see if we can go a bit further and see what happens. So, Clement, you know, you didn't within the context of English. It was a French air. You know, quand je t'oublie, c'est encore un air. No, continuez. Continuez avec le sujet. Maintenant, le sujet est le petit pois. Il y a quelques secondes, 23 secondes, vous commencez maintenant. Paul.
I don't know the French for hesitation. Otherwise, I would have said it.
Right, you have the subject, though. 22 seconds, petit pois, starting now.
Well, they're very small peas.
Tony Challenge.
Obviously, he knew nothing more about petit pois. So I can get back to my brilliant basin of petit pois at the back of
yes,
my house
can.
Story.
And I'd save it. Can I let you know there's 20 seconds and you start now?
Everyone was gathered round my...
Paul, challenge.
Repetition of everyone.
No, I don't think everyone. No. I think you're bluffing.
Are you sure?
I'm sure. You didn't say everyone before. No.
OK.
No. Right, 18 seconds. Petit pois starting now.
The clouds opened. They said, look out, the petit pois will get wet. And so I pushed...
Clement, challenge.
He's mentioned wet before.
Not in this round. When he was talking about the clouds, he mentioned getting wet. He certainly mentioned wet, but not in this round. My God, he talks a lot, but in the show. But, 13 seconds, still petit pois with you, Tony, starting now.
And then my favourite teacher came in. He said, give me some of those. They look delish.
Paul Thomas.
Deviation.
Why?
Well, Tony said it was a brilliant story.
Oh, listen,
I've been patiently sitting here.
It is. It's a brilliant story when it's uninterrupted.
Really?
Yeah. I'll tell it to you after.
Right, I'll tell you what. Give Paul a bonus point because we enjoy the inventiveness of his challenge, but you get a point because you interrupted Tony. It's still pretty poor, and you have 8 seconds left starting now.
The restaurant was dark, but everybody knew that pretty...
Julian challenged.
Everybody, repetition.
Yeah. Yes, everybody.
Well, hang on, the last argument was over everyone, if you remember. Sorry to be picky.
Everybody.
I mean, I may have said everybody about 15 minutes ago. I probably did.
It was everybody. Okay. I'm sorry. No, it wasn't everyone. It was everybody. 5 seconds with you now, Julian, on petit pois, starting now.
Petit pois are little peas ripped from their mother's breast, and we enjoy them.
Paul Challenge.
Well, I don't know. Peas don't really have breasts, do they? A mother pea doesn't have a breast, does it?
They don't. They're not ripped from anybody's breast. They come from the pod.
That's right.
But I was speaking metaphorically. They're plucked before they're ready. They're too young to be eaten. It's like eating suckling pig.
You are justifying it now very cleverly, but I don't think you made that clear when you started, and
no.
I think if you're going to be as subtle as that. But
I don't think Nicholas likes me.
Julian, I love you very much, so I give you the benefit of the doubt. Right, and you have 1 second on petit pois, starting now.
We eat them because... Thank you.
Hesitation.
I buzz for deviation of you loving Julian very much.
You can love your fellow human beings. I love a lot of people.
Yeah.
And Julian happens to be one of them. Extremely lovable young man.
Yeah.
And you've got half a second on petit pois, starting now.
I think...
So Julian Clary got points in the round, including one for speaking as the whistle went, and he's leapt forward. He's overtaken Clement Freud, but he is trailing Paul Merton and Tony Hawkes, who's now in the lead. And Julian, it's your turn to begin. The subject is avoiding income tax. I don't know why they laugh in Cornwall about that. There are 60 seconds, as usual, starting now.
I think avoiding income tax is a terrible thing to do. I would happily pay more than I already do. Perhaps the most notable entertainer who avoided his own particular tax was Ken Dodd. But he's recovered from that and the public still love him. It's one of those crimes that don't seem to be viewed too suspiciously by people in general. But I think it's wicked and...
Tony challenged.
I think repetition of think...
Yes, you were thinking a bit too much.
I was.
Yes, yes.
I was thinking about how you don't like me.
I thought I'd established it was quite the reverse, but it doesn't matter. 36 seconds with you, Tony, on avoiding income tax, starting now.
The best way of avoiding income tax is to avoid income, which is why working for just a minute is a tremendous idea. However, I have to say it's a great pleasure. I am with very much Julian's viewpoint that avoiding income tax is immoral, and generally speaking, people do get away with it too often, and I can't be bothered to go on. Suddenly turning into a political speech, for goodness sake.
I'll vote.
You'll vote for me, won't you?
Yes, Clement.
I'm sorry.
Deviation, yes. I know what you're going to say.
It was rubbish.
What is a deviation?
He said, I can't go on with this.
Oh, I see. It was a subtle challenge instead of hesitation. Right. So, you have the subject, Clement. You have 14 seconds on avoiding income tax, starting now.
Perhaps the very best way is to move and keep moving. Also, change your name and continue so to do. Smith, Jones, Robin.
Tony challenge.
Just in the interest of justice, I don't think he should go on, otherwise... People are going to write it down and they're going to do it.
Can we give you a bonus point because we enjoyed what you said, but Clement was interrupted, so he gets a point for being interrupted. He keeps the subject, and he has 4 seconds on avoiding income tax, starting now.
Not known at this address is an excellent thing to put on brown envelope.
Clement Freud speaking as a whistleblower. Again, that's the point. He's now equal in the lead with Julian Clary, and they're training the other two, and Tony Hawkes is now in the lead, one ahead of Paul Merton. I was surprised that nobody in that round actually challenged on the subject, because you all talked about avoiding income tax, which actually is not illegal. it's evading income tax, which is illegal. And Tony, it's your turn to begin. Tony, the subject is caravans. I thought that might strike a chord in Cornwall. Caravans. That is one of the things they see throughout the summer. But talk on the subject, Tony. 60 seconds starting now.
I've got a sticker in the back of my car which says, if you can read this, someone's nicked my caravan. Now, I don't actually have a caravan myself. My plan is to get a property, or even a property.
So, Julian, your challenge first.
Well, property, does that come as a deviation?
Either hesitation or deviation from English as we normally speak it. Julian, you have 46 seconds. You have caravans and you start now.
Caravans are what common people use to go on holiday with. I saw some as I drove into Foy and they were parked by the side of the road with neck curtains in and I thought, how ridiculous, who do they think they are? And sometimes they make little white wicker fences all the way around marking off their property like some mongrel dog. I think they should be banned. They're very ugly and unsightly things and goodness knows what conversation goes on inside them. Yeah, oh, God, blimey, look at that lovely ass there. If only we had a bit of money. No, I'm sorry, they're very vulgar and they're usually white and sometimes little chintzy things. Oh, no, I'm sorry.
Well, you certainly struck a chord there, Julian. Yes, but you challenged first, Paul.
Yeah, it was two sorries.
Yes, there were two sorries and... that is the game. And if we allowed everybody just to indulge themselves so that you can be have a more pleasure, well, I'm delighted. Well, pleasure yourselves, but let us play the game. All right. There are 5 seconds for you on caravans, Paul, starting now.
I went on a caravan holiday when I was about 16 years old. It was a static affair, not...
Julian challenged.
How common?
Very interesting. Half the audience clapped and the other half booed when you said that. Julian, we loved the interruption and the remarks, so you get a bonus point for that because of the response it had from the audience. But Paul gets a point for being interrupted and he keeps the subject. And there's half a second to go. Caravan starting now.
My mother and father...
Well, Paul Merton was in speaking as a wizard went and gained that extra point. He's now just gone ahead of Tony Hawkes, who was in the lead, and the other two are trailing a little. And Clement Freud, it's your turn to begin. And the subject now is manners. Tell us something about manners in this game, starting now.
As most people in Cornwall will know, manners is the family name of the Duke of Rutland. Hang on, leave it there. I think that's fine.
Well, you certainly got an amazing response. And I've given out some bonus points to others, so give one to Clement Freud for that. But Tony, you challenge first.
Well, he was so surprised by his own knowledge that he was unable to carry on, and he stopped. We call that a hesitation in the business.
We call it in just a minute a definite hesitation.
Yes.
And you have the subject, and you have 50 seconds on manners starting now.
I'm intrigued by the good manners which people have to do at dinner parties. Very often you have the food and people say, delicious. I prefer...
Paul challenge.
It's very picky, but there were two halves. Have to do, manners
yes,
have to...
I'm afraid
you know,
it's a tough
food.
Challenge, but it's true, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yes. Yes. It's very difficult to join things together without saying that.
You haven't yes. actually endeared yourself to the audience with the challenge, Paul.
No.
But,
I can withdraw the challenge.
If... No, it's correct. So I have to be fair within the rules of just a minute, and you have 41 seconds. Tell us something about manners starting now.
In a caravan, manners are very important. If one has had a full dinner, you must always open the window. This isn't too easy sometimes in some of these contrivances that you find yourself on holiday, but generally speaking, the effort is well worthwhile. Tony mentioned the manners that people have at dinner parties, and perhaps there are...
Oh. Tony challenge.
I'm sure he's repeated something. In the course of joining up all that, he must have repeated something. It's for you to go through it, Nicholas, and work out what it was.
I've done a quick rerun through my mind. I've gone a quick retape from the unconscious. I brought it forward to the conscious, and he did not repeat anything.
Oh, OK, fair enough.
So, and when you listen to the repeats of the show, I think you'll see I'm right. Paul, 22 seconds on manners starting now.
Pass the port from the left is something I've never understood. Why does it have to go that way?
Clement Freud challenge.
Deviation, you pass the port to the left.
That's right. Not from, the left.
From the left.
To the left.
Yes.
I got the point.
Don't know the same thing.
Yes.
So I don't know how I judge this.
Let's have a fight.
No. I'm going to leave it to the superior judgment
it
of the audience.
It comes from the right and is passed to the left.
The audience have agreed that you are right, Clement. So you have a point, you have the subject, you have 15 seconds, manners starting now.
If you have a plate full of food and you leave a little bit on a side of whatever you're eating from, it is called...
So, Paul, you got the subject back. 6 seconds, manners, starting now.
How dare you fart before my wife? I didn't know it was her turn.
Julian!
I don't know why I buzzed, really, because it was, wasn't a deviation at all.
Fortunately for Paul, he was interrupted, so he's got 1 second more to tell us about manners, starting now.
Perhaps the most important...
Paul Martin, again speaking as the whistle went, has increased his lead at the end of the round. In fact, he has a considerable number of points, and so has Tony Hawks in second place, and the other two have some, but not as many. And, Paul, it's your turn to begin. The subject is The Perfect Murder. Tell us something about The Perfect Murder in just a minute, starting now.
The idea of The Perfect Murder is that you should carry out such a crime and not be found out. Alfred Hitchcock made many films based on that theme. Perhaps his most successful was called Strangers on a Train. The idea in that particular movie was that two people should murder individuals they'd never met. So they would, in fact, each murder the other person's victim. Oh.
Tony, challenge.
Reputation of person.
Correct, Tony. And you have 36 seconds of The Perfect Murder starting now.
In the world of comedy, we often talk about dying on stage if we're not doing very well. But also, we say, I murdered them out there last night if we go down a storm.
Clement Freud, challenge.
Three ifs.
I'll give it to you on three ifs, but let's restrain ourselves on the little tiny words. So, Clement, a point to you in The Perfect Murder, and 25 seconds starting now.
The perfect murder is when the victim is totally, thoroughly dead, as opposed to the imperfect murder, where the body has a leg or an arm still flailing about, still...
I love it when they create images like that, which ripple through the audience. But, Julian, you challenge.
Well, if the leg or the arm is flaying about, then they're not murdered, are they?
That's an imperfect murder.
That's an imperfect murder.
Yeah.
No, but this is the perfect murder.
Oh.
And so, the subject, so the other case, it's deviation. And it's 11 seconds, the perfect murder starting now.
The perfect murder I would consider probable is one in which the body can never be found. So therefore, you must dig a large hole and you must remember to take...
Clement Freud, challenge.
Two musts.
Yes, you did say must twice, I'm afraid. Yes. So, Clement, you're back in there with a shout. With 2 seconds to go, the perfect murder starting now.
Hitchcock was a great man for the perfect murder.
So, Paul Martin's still in the lead. Then is Tony Hawks. And then Clement Freud is in third place now, having gained points in the round and one for speaking as a whistle went, and then Julian Clary. And Julian, it's your turn to begin. Now, we know that you love dogs. I don't know if it's been chosen specially for you. Teaching an old dog new tricks. Tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
They say you can't teach an old dog new tricks, but it's not true. Fanny the Wonder Dog was 19 when she expired, and for the last 5 years of her life, she was deaf. And I managed to teach her sign language so that she could see where I was. And if you held your arms out thus, that meant I'm over here. If you held your arm out like that...
Clement Freud, challenge.
Arms.
Two arms.
There yes. were too many arms on the face.
But was what it, else was it arms and arm?
Yeah. No.
I think it was plural, both.
It doesn't really... Mind you, it doesn't really qualify as a new trick, does it? Spotting somebody with their arms out.
If the dog is blind.
Julian, you have the benefit of the doubt. You have this audience on your side. You have 38 seconds available on teaching an old dog new tricks starting now.
Eventually, Fanny died.
Poor challenge.
I didn't think I'd be saying this tonight, but repetition of Fanny.
That was his dog, yes, so...
Did you say Fanny's before?
Go on, give Clement another bonus point. He's working hard for him. But Paul gets a point for a correct challenge. And you got the subject of Fanny and... I'm so sorry. It gets you in your brain sometimes. You got 36 seconds teaching an old dog new tricks starting now.
I had a Labrador who was 15 years old and I taught it to play the trumpet. And what a fantastic noise he got out of this instrument. You wouldn't think it possible. It was the Humphrey Littleton of the canine world. No sooner would it walk into a room and the excited visitor would say, "Give us a tune, Arnold." That happened to be its name. A strange name, perhaps.
You're like him on Factiony First. You have 17 seconds on teaching an old dog new tricks starting now.
We had a 16-year-old standard poodle called Polly, whom we taught to do the three-card trick, which was extremely difficult because he was left-handed.
Oh, Tony. Sorry.
Well, what's this dog doing with hands? Surely paws would be...
Deviation on every count, yes, but there we are. So, yes, but 5 seconds, teaching an old dog new tricks starting now.
We had a 17-year-old Dachshund that we taught to do downhill skiing, and it was so impressive. You would see him at the...
Well, what an hysterical round. My goodness me, he's difficult to keep a straight face. And let me give you the final situation. Julian only just finished in fourth place. He was a few points behind... Another oh, please. Clement Freud was then in third place. Oh. And Tony Hawks did extremely well. He's leading for quite a long time. He was in second place. Oh. But with 22 points, which is a very high score in this game, out in the lead was Paul Merton. Which is, hey, Paul, you are the winner this week. Oh. So it only remains for me to say thank you to these four delightful players of the game, Paul Merton, Julian Clary, Tony Hawks and Clement Freud. Also thank Claire Bartlett for helping with the score and blowing her whistle so elegantly. And we thank our producer and director, that is Claire Jones. We're indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this game, which we all love playing. And we are very grateful to this lovely Cornish audience here. From our panel and from me, Nicholas Parsons, thank you. Tune in the next time we play Just a Minute. My name is Nicholas Parsons, and you have just been listening to an award-winning Just a Minute from July 2002.